good afternoon, and it is exactly 12 o'clock, and welcome to the MoneyWeb at Midday Show. My name is Ryk van Niekerk, and this show is brought to you by Chartered Accountants of South Africa, leaders in business. Well, this week is gearing up to be a very exciting one, with a highly anticipated budget announcement scheduled for Wednesday, and if you can believe some whispers in the corridors, a cabinet reshuffle, a major one that could be on the cards, and if you believe the whispers, it could be as soon as Thursday. Well, looking at today, we've seen several corporate announcements. Kiro Financial Private Education Group, Kiro reported results. I'll speak to CEO Andries Greiling a bit later, as well as Anglo-American Platinum. Some solid results out of that company, and I'll speak to Peter Major from Cadis. And David Shapiro from Sasfin will also, in a while, just put everything for us into context. But first, let's look at the markets. US markets, of course, are closed today for a public holiday, and the volumes all around the world, and especially on the JSE, is expected to be thin. But looking at the JSE, the ALSI is down about 0.5%, the financial index down 0.14%, industrials down nearly 0.8%, resources down 0.4%, led by the gold shares down 2.24%. Earlier in Asia, there was a positive mood. The Nikkei jumped by nearly 2%. Shanghai was up nearly 0.5%. In Europe today, it seems a bit flat. The FTSE 100 is just negative. The DAC is slightly positive, and the CAC 40 seems to be really flat at the moment. So not a lot happening in Europe. Let's look at currencies. The US dollar currently trades at 11.63, 16.31 against the pound, and 14.44 against the euro. The gold price is $1,347.58. Brent crude is at $65.21, and platinum is $1,012 an ounce. But let's first look at Kiro. Private Schools Group Kiro saw its share price drop by more than 4% this morning after releasing annual results. The group reported that revenue jumped by 22% to 2.1 billion. Headline earnings up 24% to 201 million. On the line is CEO Andries Greiling. Andries, welcome to the show. Kiro was founded 20 years ago with one school, and today there are more than 50,000 learners in 138 schools. And you've also listed a tertiary division quite recently. It's actually quite a fantastic journey.
Right, okay. Yeah, it's our 20th year this year. Like you said, it started in a vestry in 20 years ago by Dr. Chris van der Merwe with 28 learners. And today, you know, if you exclude Stadia and you only look at Kiro, we've got 52,000 learners all over in 59 campuses, 138 schools all over South Africa, Botswana, and Namibia. And who knows, maybe we can venture into the rest of Africa.
The market didn't like your results all that much, but are you happy with headline earnings growth of around 24%?
I think for us it's a satisfactory set of results. You know, I think, still growing in tough economic and political environment, you know, still growing your earnings per share with double digits. I think it's still, you know, pleasing. We are a growing company, and I think the market expects maybe a bit more. But we are satisfied, and we are a growing company, and, you know, we're still going to continue investing in our business plan, and we still believe there's more than enough opportunities to grow the business.
How many schools did you acquire in this particular year?
That was one of our things. Normally, one of our success factors is that we do acquire one or two schools within a specific year, and then you turn those schools around while your greenfield operation, you know, starts. In 2017, we sadly didn't do any acquisitions. Couldn't pick up one where the prices were right for us. But we started this year with announcing two, one in Botswana and then one in the Free State, which is quite good ventures. And we foresee, you know, more ventures to happen throughout the rest of the year. So, after a stall year, I think we're going to see some action happening again this year.
One of your brands is the Meridian brand, which is more aimed at a more affordable private schooling option, and there are up to 35 children in a class. The main Kiro option seems to have around 25 children in a class, but the number of Meridian learners have declined by 1% or slightly down. Why do you ascribe that decline to?
the Meridian Venture is really small in the bigger scheme, and it started with us joining hands in 2013 with Old Mutual, venturing into the low fee market, and most of our schools, you know, are situated in rural areas. It's situated in Polokwane, it's situated in Nelspruit, in Newcastle. So, you know, in the bigger scheme, it's really a small number of our schools. What it did allow us to do is to start our own Kiro Academies out of this venture. And since then, you know, academies are really flying and growing and daily, and we can see a lot more opportunities in the academy market. Like I said, the Meridian venture, we sort of stabilized the numbers. It started declining, and I think mostly it's because of the economical environment in the rural areas. But I think we reached sort of stability, and we can start turning it around operationally as well and start seeing quite good growth. We are recapitalizing the venture. It's quite a geared venture with Meridian. So I think we'll see the recapitalization happening as well within this year.
But the business is pretty capital intensive. In 2017, you spent about 1.1 billion on capital projects, and your budget for 2018 for more than 2.3 billion. That is significant. And how do you put that into context?
If you look at our cash flow that we generate, firstly, the operational cash flow, we're glad to say that you need to spend, let me start by saying, you need to spend in front of the curve. So you put down your school, and then, you know, you wait for it to fill up, and then you go into phase two and phase three. So you need to spend capex before you start seeing returns. Most of our schools will take anything from 5 to 9 years to reach capacity, which we normally work at 80-85% of the total numbers. So if you look at cash flows that we currently are generating, it's more than enough to finance the existing schools, operational capital needs. So whenever we need to go into the next phase, we've got enough capital out of our operations to finance that. So why do we need capital then? Is for new expansions, for new greenfields, or for new acquisitions that we want to do. So bulk of the money for this year is for us to expand in, not only in South Africa, but Southern Africa as well, maybe into Africa. So we've got a lot of capital planned, through further investment and acquisitions for this year.
Thank you, Andries. That was Andries Greiling, CEO of Curo.
MoneyWeb has a unique opportunity for financial advisors through our Click and Advisor offering. Advisors can interact with a growing investor-based audience and attract new clients. Get everything you need to know by joining our free webinar on February the 27th at 11 a.m. Go to www.moneyweb.co.za to secure your spot.
Anglo American Platinum reported results today, and the world's largest producer of platinum has paid its first dividend in 6 years. The company also reduced its net debt to $1.8 billion from a mammoth $7.3 billion in 2016, and the headline earnings nearly doubled to 3.9 billion rand. On the line is Peter Major from Cadis. Peter, this looks like a strong set of numbers and a vastly improved balance sheet for the company.
Well, it shows when you've got good assets, you're never really out of the game. You know, even if everything else goes against you, like legislation, commodity prices, as long as you've got the great assets, you got room to maneuver. Might take you a little bit, and I think that's what we saw. But very good management at Amplats, fantastic assets. And with the way South Africa's gone, you know, multiples increase in your electricity, constant demands by the union, the community, and legislation, Anglo's has reacted the only way they could, and they've increased their open pit mine, which doesn't need so much electricity, doesn't need so much labor, and that's allowed them to lower their cost per ounce and get some kind of profit out of these pretty low, mundane platinum prices.
But, you know, going back a few years, there were many winds blowing against the industry virtually from all directions, politically, labor, international commodity pricing. And it seems like, as you've said, excellent management at the company, and they've navigated these challenges expertly.
Yeah, I think they've done as good as anybody on the planet could do. You know, mining is really under siege. You've got legislation trying to put you out of business, communities constantly trying to put you out of business, And the union, you know, between their double-digit wage increases every year and falls in productivity, man, when commodity prices go down, that's like all four legs of the table kicked out from under you. And yet, Amblatt's has navigated as well as anybody could have because they've got the assets and management to do it.
Well, we are seeing some interesting political changes in South Africa, and most notably in the mining sector was the Chamber of Mines, who decided to pause its challenge of the mining charter, and there seems to be a renewed will, political will, to engage the industry, and the president seems to have sat down with the industry over the weekend. What do you make of this? Do you think there can be short-term, you know, gains made from this these developments?
Geez, I'm hoping there's going to be more than short-term gains, Rake. I'm hoping there's going to be medium, long-term, and short-term gains. You know, mining is so crucial to this country. It creates the best jobs and the most jobs when the legislation and the people allow it to. And yes, as you said, all indications are we could be heading for a new dawn. The indicators are there. You know, foreign investors really want to come back in here. You've got a president that understands the industry pretty well. He understands all the headwinds they've had that have been self-imposed and created. And we still got really good commodity prices. Even though the platinum price hasn't gone up very much, the other PGM prices have really gone up. You know, palladium is more than platinum. Rhodium's going well. Ruthenium, iridium, even the base metals, the nickel and copper that it produces as a byproduct. So almost everything's in its favor. We just have to lock in those indicators and make them actuals instead of possibles.
But you see, mining is, you know, you talk of long-term projects, very capital-intensive long-term projects. Now, currently, we're seeing some short-term, optimism. The question actually is, how quickly do you think, if optimism, you know, improves as it did, and it seems to be sustainable, these mining companies would start to invest and boost this whole sector, which we, as you've said, we so desperately need?
I think the mining charter now is the most critical element. It's the starter motor on the engine. We've got the right president. We've got changes going through the ministries, possible changes coming, and the people are more optimistic. But that charter, it has to be written in conjunction with the industry. It can't be written against the industry, and that's how the charters have been written. They're not economically viable. They're almost unconstitutional. They're very unethical in parts. They put almost no accountability or responsibilities onto anybody except the mining industry. That charter can have such a positive effect if it's redone correctly. Then it could turbocharge this industry.
We'll have to leave it there. Thank you, Peter. That was Peter Major from Cadiz. On the line now, David Shapiro from Sasfin. David, welcome to the show. You've just listened to Peter. He believes that the mining industry can turn itself around quite quickly if the political will is there. What do you think?
He's always good value for money. It is there, but you've got to understand that the political will is going to be there. And even though you've got a president who's going to be very much in favor and understands exactly what needs to be done, he's still got his voters and the unions to satisfy. So it depends. You know, miners come in, they want a return on capital. It's a high-risk business, and therefore, when you do make an investment, you want to make sure that you get your investment back as soon as possible within a few years. So you can't have everybody grabbing on it. And also, miners, as Peter said with Anglo Platt, the fact that they've come through is credit to the team, and I think those are the issues. There are not a whole lot of charity organizations out there that are going to invest in the country. These are people who've got alternative areas to go to and alternative ways to use their money. So you have to understand what an investor would want. And, you know, if I go back now and if I look at the dollar returns in our miners over the last 5 years, they pale into insignificance compared with the ability to use that money elsewhere in other industries, in tech industries, in you know, various other businesses around the world. So we've got a lot to consider, and that's all going to be up to whether, you know, Cyril Ramaphosa or President Ramaphosa is going to be able to do that. But that's the challenge that faces him.
But the key is these results, especially Anglo-American Platinum, was excellent, and it was, you know, it was earned under the previous administration.
Yeah, well, that's what happens when you get good miners. But I think there was a lot of sweat that came through. Also, it came from an exceptionally low base. What Peter refers to is actually the rand. You know, when he talks about platinum prices, I've just been doing charts for a presentation on rand prices of iron ore, of gold, of platinum, and so on. And all of them are under, you know, all of them are down. So we're actually earning a lot less rands than we were a year ago, and to the point of 10%. So you've got to understand how they've got to make that up. They can only make it up by better procurement, by higher productivity. Mm. And a rand at these levels is not doing this economy any favor, even with exporters. It makes it very, very tight. We're taking a huge competitive edge. And Rake as well, it's not all rand gains. It's a lot of this is dollar weakness. So the dollar is benefiting from this. And companies, the S&P companies that have outside or external businesses are they, you know, they're rubbing their hands with glee. But it's very difficult. I'm sure we would be more happy with a rand at 12.50 or even closer to 13. I'm talking about the exporters and the miners around about there.
Yeah, well,
so while we're celebrating this, it makes things here a lot tougher.
The rand is not the share price of the country anymore as it was in many years ago. But just lastly, David, the markets, the U.S. markets are closed, but the share price, all share down 0.4%, gold mining down 2%. Should you read too much into this?
No, I think we had a wonderful Thursday, and I think there's a bit of unraveling of all of that. U.S. markets are pointing out, just looking at their futures markets, so it looks like if it continues into when they open tomorrow, you're going to get the sixth or seventh day in a row up, and they're about 1% from their high. We're still about 4.5% of the high that we reached late January, but there's still interest here. Volumes are exceptionally low, because not only is America closed, but it's a Chinese New Year as well, so we're not getting any guidance from them. 10 cents not trading. So very, very quiet conditions, but I think one can expect a little bit of weakness for, you know, after last week's run, and people also reassessing what this all means for the economy, taking a more realistic look at it, take the emotion out and say, what does it really mean in rands and cents?
Thank you, David. That was David Shapiro from Sasfin. And that's all we have time for. Just a last glance at the markets. The rand is currently trading at 11.65 against the dollar, 16.33 against the pound, and 14.46 against the euro. As I said earlier, the all share down currently 0.4%, led by gold miners. Well, this show was brought to you by the Chartered Accountants of South Africa, leaders in business. My name is Rake van der Kerk, and thank you for tuning in.